Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
And I'm Nick Harris.
All right. Finally, so we have talked about Nick for weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the guy that's committed to being on the show and then, you know, didn't show up and all kinds of different excuses.
We've said a lot of things about Nick, and some of them were good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I was actually pretty busy. I've been locked away in my office, working away on trying to get my hair to grow. But I failed on that, so I started developing a toolkit instead.
Does that work? Should I try that?
It doesn't work very well.
Mine all fell off, actually. I think since the last show that we did.
Yeah. Yeah, and you thought about it long and hard. And
yep. Okay.
All right, so
that's good.
Lots of stuff to cover today.
We do, yeah. So no time to mess around.
We should get started. For many of you, many of you are probably aware that last week was Build. So Build, the Build Windows Conference. And a lot of announcements came out last week. So we thought we'd very quickly, and we do need to go quickly, kind of go through these announcements.
Yep. So the following is going to be played at 1.5 speed
yep.
when you watch the video.
Yeah. All right, so Steve, why don't you tell us about this announcement?
So we shipped an SDK, SDK 1.5. It's got some cool stuff in it, sort of a redesigned compute emulator so that it has higher fidelity with the cloud, some nice package validation warnings so that if you like add a reference to DLL that's not actually marked as copy local, you don't have to be surprised when you deploy to the cloud. You can find out right when you're getting ready on your developer
desktop. I hate waiting 10 minutes to then find out I forgot something.
To just go, oh, man, I forgot the thing. And I forgot, of course, to turn on the full error messages, which means I deploy.
Then
it goes, oh, something didn't work, and then I deploy again so I can see what the error message is.
The yellow screen
is. And then I go, oh, I forgot to right-click and click this thing that takes 2 seconds. So there's that, and I don't know, what else is in 1.5? Some tooling sort of updates.
Profiling. Yeah. I mean, on the tool side, 1.4 was new enough that 1.5 still got a lot of the new goodies in it, right? So, so good SDK, I think, worth grabbing.
Download it.
And, of course, as part of it, one of the things that we've been working really hard on is the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit. And so, gosh, I mean, we have like, I don't know, 25-some HOLs. Couple dozen demos.
That's hands-on labs.
Hands-on
for those
labs.
Who don't know.
So all kinds of content, and we've refreshed it all to work with the 1.5 tools. Oh, by the way, it's worth noting too: the 1.5 SDK for Windows Azure App Fabric also shipped. So, so that's also part of this training kit and training course refresh. So definitely grab the latest version of the platform training kit. We have a new lab as well. So we've got a lab for service bus messaging, which is been newly added to the service bus and was released as well. So let me find that service bus messaging. There, oh, it's right there. So there's a new HOL here on messaging that you can walk through and a lot of good stuff, queues, topics, subscriptions. So
cool.
Check that out. GeoRep.
Yeah, this is, we've talked about this before, but it's finally here, which is that now if you store data in Windows Azure blobs or tables, it will automatically, at no cost to you, be asynchronously replicated to another data center within the same region.
Yep.
So for example, if you're in north central U.S. as where you've deployed your storage account, you will have a copy in south central U.S. of everything.
Yep.
You won't see the copy. It's there for disaster recovery. So
yep.
if North Central U.S. Whatever. If we lose the whole thing and it just falls in the ocean,
if Godzilla comes by and
that's far fetched.
No,
okay,
but if
the continent splits in half and Bart falls in the ocean, something that might
much
happen.
More likely.
2012 is coming. be prepared.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, we were losing an entire data center. This way, all of your data is safe and stored securely in the other data center. You can turn this off if you want to. You have to call support to do it. So you'll actually call support and just tell them,
Steve will answer the phone.
I don't want this. Okay. Yeah, it's just my cell phone.
It's a direct line.
I answer it between the hours of like 1 and 4 p.m. Pacific time. So just call within that. But call support and tell them you do not want replication. And we will stop doing it.
Yep, that's great.
And it's up to you. And there's some features too. We added stuff to queues. You can renew your like lease on a queue message. Really, so you can extend the visibility timeout.
Are these Windows Azure storage queues?
Yes. Windows Azure storage queues. Okay. Actually, service bus queues also have a mechanism for doing the same thing, for sort of renewing a lease on these things.
Yep.
But Windows Azure queues does two now. You can also edit the text of a queue message, or the contents, rather. It doesn't have to be text. It
can update
be
message.
Yeah, you can update the message. In table storage, you can do an upsert.
Upsert.
Which is a combination of an update and an insert.
Yep.
It's clever it's how nice. That goes together.
You don't
like
need
that.
To have two different transactions, yeah. Right?
Right. So you can actually, a lot of people wrote code to sort of do this already, where you try to insert and then you handle the exception and then you instead turn it into an update. This way, if the entity already exists, it'll be an update. If it doesn't, it'll be an insert, yep. And you can do that in one operation.
Probably
one other feature.
Yeah, if nothing else, I would recommend Brad Caller had a great great talk at Build on this very topic.
Yes.
So on the Channel 9 website, if you can go to...
projection. That's the other thing.
What
I
was it?
Okay. Projection.
Projection?
Server-side projection. So you can now get just one property, you might call it a column, from your query instead of all of them.
Got it.
This is useful if you're doing things like doing aggregation or counting or whatever, and you just don't want to fetch the entire entity. You can now actually just select a subset of those things.
Cool.
Yeah, Brad had a great talk about it, and there are a couple blog posts.
All that stuff's up on Channel 9, so you can go to the build sessions and take a look. Moving on. PowerShell commandlets. So this is actually really cool. So Michael Washam on the evangelism team has been spent almost the last 2 months taking a look at the existing PowerShell commandlets, and we had two sets. So we had a set for kind of, you know, Windows Azure diagnostics management, but then we also had a separate set for ACS. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we didn't support all the APIs. So like, we didn't have stuff for SQL Azure yet. We didn't have very much for storage. I mean, there were a lot of gaps in what the PowerShell commandlets supported. And so he went through, redesigned them, collapsed everything into a single set of tools. So there's no two different versions between ACS and then everything else. So it's all one set of PowerShell commandlets, added a whole bunch of other functionality, mm-hmm. tons of samples, and actually had a fantastic talk at Build about kind of debugging and management monitoring using these PowerShell commandlets as a way to do it, and a lot of great tips and tricks. So take a look at these new commandlets, a lot of really good stuff. Great way to manage, debug, you know, do all these different things with your instances. So
I think we should put the link up at the bottom of the published Channel 9 for Michael's talk, because it really is the best diagnostics talk I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are trying to go out and debug, I guess, your web or work roles up in the cloud, this is awesome.
Agreed.
It really
Agreed.
Is. Yep. Makes life so easy.
We will put a link to that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. All right. Seattle
sick.
Interactive Conference.
This is just sick.
It is sick.
Sick.
S-I-C.
Yeah, there's no K.
There's no K.
So yeah.
Yeah. So
this is some sort of conference I've heard of.
Yep.
And there's some people on the speaker list who I've heard of also.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a look at the speaker list.
Really? Okay.
Oh, smart.
Gosh. Oh, how did you get up there first?
Yeah. Why was I in the top? Yeah. Oh, look. No, I recognize. So far, I recognize everyone.
So Scott Densmore. He's on Patterns and Practices. Been doing all kinds of great work. He's actually been helping a lot out with the iOS stuff. Remember, he's the Xcode ninja I referred to before.
That's right.
This guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Totten, Rob Tiffany, who's a mobility guru, is going to be there to help talk about mobile and cloud.
Oh, and who's this?
And then this guy, yeah.
Jeez.
So
look at that.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture.
It looks like you still were not successful in making your hair grow. So.
No, and that was a couple months ago.
Yeah.
You've made very little progress.
So
since
anyway,
then.
Yeah. So.
So we'll be at that conference.
We'll be at that conference. Yeah. It's going to be basically we're going to have a one-day kind of set of talks on Windows Azure in the context of devices and mobility. So it'll be a great set of talks, talking about Windows Phone, Android, iOS, how to monetize your apps that you build, how to leverage Windows Azure as part of that. And then we also have, I think, a day set aside for, or maybe it's the same day, but at any rate, we have a bunch of resources where you can come in and get some hands-on experience as well. And then we'll have ourselves as well as some other folks there guiding there to help guide you, answer questions, and so forth.
It'll be fun.
It will be.
Come to Seattle. The weather's great.
Yeah, come on. It's the best time of the year to visit Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
it's November 2nd and 3rd. We should make
November 2nd
sure people
and 3rd. Yeah.
Know the dates, but that's the...
We'll include a link to it.
Yeah.
And then Service Bus. I guess I kind of mentioned this, but at any rate...
We did.
I preempted it.
We let the cat out of the bag early.
The Service Bus messaging pieces did go to general availability, so they're up in production. So this is messaging, topics, queues, subscriptions, all that great stuff that Clemens and Paul Stubbs have been talking about. There's some great videos here on Channel 9. Take a look. There's a new SDK for it, 1.5. worth pointing out that there is still a 2.0 SDK, but that is for labs. So don't get confused on that. So you do want, if you want to use this in production, you want the new Windows Azure App Fabric 1.5 SDK.
And so, now if you go to Web Platform Installer and just and click like the Windows Azure SDK, it will also automatically sort of pull in the Windows Azure App Fabric SDK 1.5. So you probably already got this. If you were downloading the Windows Azure SDK, you probably got the right bits. But do make sure to include the right references and whatever. 1.5 is the right version of this stuff in production.
Cool.
Great. Last news of build.
Last news, but not least,
we're going to talk about for the rest of the show.
The Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8, brought to you by Mr. Nick Harris. So, wonderful.
That's why he's on the show. We just wanted to do the bow and take credit.
All right,
and
cool.
Now we're ready for the tip of the week, which will be...
No. We got a lot of great stuff to show. So, we figured we'd dig into this a little bit, but there's no better way to do it than also having the toolkit available and running through it. So we're going to do a quick switcheroo, and we'll be right back.
Move on. I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on.
All right. So we're back. So tell us a little bit about the toolkit. You know, what is the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8? Why'd you create it?
Right.
What does it do?
It does a whole bunch of stuff. So the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8 is, I guess, a toolkit similar in style to, say, the phone toolkit or the iOS Android toolkits, in that it provides a way to accelerate developers, development of services that utilize these things. So perhaps I should define what these things are.
Yeah, what are these things?
So
I thought that was actually perfectly specific enough.
Getting close. So, if you look at the screen here, what we've got is we've actually got an architectural diagram of the Windows Notification Service, a Metro-style app here, and a cloud service running up in Windows Azure. So you've probably seen in the keynote on day one that we talked about the start screen of the Windows Developer Preview, and what you can see here is a whole bunch of tiles. So we've got different tiles, and tiles of the shape is square or rectangular, and you can see that they're all peeking in here and showing different images, so it's becoming alive. Yep. So one of the scenarios which we wanted to highlight with the toolkit was actually how you can go and build out a Windows Azure service that goes out and delivers notifications to your Windows Developer Preview applications.
Yep. It's awesome. Yeah, so this is actually really similar with what we did with the Windows Phone and the other toolkits, right, where basically out of the box you get a Windows Azure project that that has all the services configured and everything set up, along with a set of client apps as well that are configured to work with that service.
Yep.
So,
so a whole bunch of templating, documentation, and samples there, which we can probably dig through in a bit of detail.
Yeah, that'd be great. And in addition to the WNS samples and templates, there's also some other stuff as well in the toolkit, right?
Yeah, so we've actually gone out and built a recipe. So this recipe is, I guess, similar to the Windows Phone 7 recipe for notifications, in that it abstracts away the complexity of having to go down and deal with your HTTP requests and responses, and provides a nice sort of managed object model for you to program against. So it makes it really quick and easy to go off and send a notification in the order of 3 lines of code.
Yeah, it's nice, and especially because with Windows Phone, you had what in Windows Phone 7, like 3 different notification types, right?
Yep.
In the Windows Developer Preview, how many types are there? I mean, there's 50?
Yeah,
50 variants?
Well, there's still 3 types, but there's different template variations.
Yeah, fair enough.
Templates provide a different means of sort of displaying that stuff on your
Do you have an image? Do you have text? How many
lines
of text?
What size of the images?
It's sort of, the combinatorics get a little bit crazy, and it's nice to have something that... Yeah. That means you don't have to just edit XML by hand to sort of create those things.
Yep. So it's a very rich templating model that pretty much provides everything you need.
Yep. So you mentioned project templates. Do you want to? Can we take a look at some of those?
Let's jump in.
Cool.
So we'll fire up Visual Studio here.
And so let's point out too, first of all, that since we're going to be talking to this, since this is. I'm going to have some Windows Azure services. We are running Visual Studio 2010.
Yep.
And we'll talk about some tricks, tips and stuff at the end as to how to get this working, but it's worth at least highlighting that this is not Dev 11 on Windows 8. Right.
That's correct. So we'll actually be using VS 2010 for our Azure services, and we'll be using Dev 11 for our Metro-style client.
Yep. Perfect.
Let's get started. So we've got a File New Project experience here, similar to the other toolkits, and what you can see is when I don't hit escape, we'll pop up the dialog here. Now, this is where
that's
we go.
That's a good tip. Like, don't just cancel the dialogue because you can't go any further if you do.
Whoever knew about that shortcut before?
It's a regression.
Yeah. So, anyhow, this is our project template for our Windows 8 cloud application.
Yeah.
Right? So similar to where the phone toolkits installs, you can find them under cloud. Now, what this is going to do is it's going to go off and generate our client application that knows how to talk to the Windows push notification service. It's also going to go out and generate our services that sit up in Azure. So that's where we go off and push our notifications from. So let's hit OK here. Now, if you're familiar with the phone toolkit, you'll see this as well. So we're just asking here, do you want to use a storage account in the cloud? If so, provide your credentials. Otherwise, let's use the local storage emulator.
Yeah. And to be clear, too, like those credentials won't go in the client app. Those are going to go in the services up in Windows Azure.
Yep.
So
that's
they'll remain secure.
Yep. So the second step of the wizard is actually for WNS. So when your cloud service goes to push a notification through WNS, one thing that's different compared to the WinPhone 7 MPNS is that we need to authenticate. And it uses OAuth2 to do this. So what we need to do in this step of the wizard is get some credentials that we can utilize to authenticate against WNS,
yep.
Retrieve back a token that we use when we post every subsequent notification. So we can do that by jumping out to the WNS and Live Connect portal here.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's nice about this toolkit is it makes these steps of getting the tokens and the credentials for WNS and getting them into your project very easy. So
yep, that's right. So this WNS portal here with Live Connect is where you go off and you provide some. Firstly, you need to provide some details such that if you need to come back here and find you out later, perhaps to grab those credentials again, you'll be able to identify it. So what we've provided in the template is a handy link here that just copies a package display name to clipboard. And what this is it's just the name of the client app that
Amazing.
We're going to generate for you.
Amazing. Copy to clipboard. Love it.
Took me a whole line of text.
Dang it. Now we're making things easy for people again.
Yeah. You hate that. I forgot about that.
So I've also copied the publisher there. So these two things are used to identify us in the portal. So we just hit I accept, and now that's going to go off, save that, and generate some credentials that we can utilize in both our client application and the service. So the client application needs this package name, and that's such that when we try to register a channel with WNS, it knows that it's associated with this particular client secret for the auth.
And the package name actually gets set in the app manifest for the Metro-styled app, so you can always go back into it and change it and so forth. This is just kind of pre-setting for you.
If you double-click that little package thing. I want to point out how great this is because I did this by hand instead. When I was building my demo for my build talk last week, I just went to the portal and did this, and then I had to go edit the package manifest and put these things in. Mm-hmm. And it's much nicer to have sort of one page where you just sort of paste things back and forth and you're done.
Right.
So very convenient.
We even trim that white space on the end of there for
which
you.
Which is nice, because I've forgotten to take the white space off from the... Yeah.
So there we go. I hit
trim.
OK. Yeah,
it's making it
that's
easy.
A function name. So
I know.
just in case for those of you watching.
In some languages it's strip, so you gotta. It's good to point that out, make sure people know.
Right, there'll be none of that going on here. So... maybe afterwards, but anyhow. So what we've got here is down the right
hand. I'm so glad we got Nick on the show.
This is great.
Okay.
This is for you, Dave. Yeah.
So what we've got here is we've got a services solution gone off and generated, and you can see here that we've got a few things. So you're already maybe familiar with ASP.NET MVC, so this is our ASP.NET MVC website. We've got our cloud project here, and you can see that we've gone and injected those settings that we put in the wizard into our settings page here.
And by the way, I want to point out, too, it's very nice to have that in the CFCFG because, you know, given that it's a developer preview, the dev 11 bits, there have been a couple of cases where I've had to change the package name. And when you do that, then you have to reset everything with WNS and so forth. And I've already had deployed services up in Windows Azure. Not having that in the CFCFG means a redeploy, right?
Yeah.
So very nice that stuff's been extracted, put in the CFCFG.
Yep.
So
that's right.
Much easier.
Yep. Cool. So I guess the other thing to point out here in the services solution is a recipe for WNS.
Yep.
And this is that managed API we talked about that makes it easy to go off and say new up a tile or toast notification, and also to manage that authentication against WNS.
Yep, that's great.
So that's that. So I think we'll just fire this up and then open up the client as well. So while the services spin up here, I'm going to go off and open up the client application that we generated for you. So you can see here in the solution folder, we've got the client app. I'm just going to go and kick this open in Dev 11.
Right, so these things are all sort of in the same project, but you do actually have to you have to work separately in, because the Windows Azure tools are all going to be in Visual Studio 2010,
and
the client is going to be in 2011. But at least we have to put them together into sort of one. The best you can do is sort of combine them like we've done, I think, make that a little easier.
Yeah, so they're all there, but yeah, you do need Dev 11 for the client and VS 2010 for the services. So this is the client, and we can see that that package name has been injected here into our client, and we've also got the publisher there. So we'll just check that the services have spun up here, and there they go. So let's go and hit go on the client.
So if you do change these things, as Wade was just talking about, those are actually the two places. There's one place where you have those settings for the Windows Azure service, and then there's one place in that package manifest where they go for the client.
Yep.
And so if you are changing them, make sure you, you change in both places.
That's correct. Yeah, you definitely have to make sure the package name on the client matches up with your credentials and your services.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're not going to get your notifications.
Yeah, I made that mistake once, too, and had an old one in one place.
All right.
Why isn't this channel opening?
Yeah, right.
All right, let's talk through this process. So I guess what we're going to demonstrate here are three very key steps to sending notifications from the cloud to your Windows Metro-style app. So the first step is to request a channel from WNS through the WinRT API. So once we do that, we can then take that channel, and then perhaps we want to be able to push that up into the cloud such that later on when some event, if we are a weather application or something like that, the weather forecast may change and we need to push that down. So we need somewhere intermediately, as an intermediary, to persistently store that channel URI until such a point in time that we need it. So the step one is to request the channel. Step two is to register that with your cloud service and store it, say, in blob storage.
Yep.
And then step three is to auth against WNS and push the notification. So we'll step through those steps, and I'll call them out as we go.
Great.
So what we've got here is we've got a URL that goes to a WCF REST service, and that's for step two, our registration with our service. So that's spun up in the compute emulator. When I press this button here, it's going to request a channel from WNS and push it straight up into this service.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and do that. So we've got our channel, and it's gone and sent it to our server.
Great.
So that's good. So we'll just jump across to the
services. So right now it's registered such that WNS, once it receives something from a service or something else, can push the message down to the client app.
That's right. And this string here is how it does that. So this uniquely identifies this application.
Yep. Cool.
So here's our services portal. So if you're familiar with the Phone 7 toolkit, this is almost a similar experience.
Yeah, it looks very familiar.
I think the password by default is the same.
Yeah, it's the same. Yep. Same admin password.
So if you're wondering what the password is, you just refer out to the documentation.
We used to actually have the password on the site, but we got enough feedback that maybe that's not such a good idea. So
you should change it or remove it before you publish
production. Yes, you should.
You shouldn't leave it with that default, regardless of the fact that we no longer say it right on that page. It's still not super secure to leave it with the well-known default password.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
So what we've got here is we've got a simple website with a couple of tabs, push notifications and blobs.
Yep.
So I'll start with the push notifications just to give you a feel of what you can get here. So here's our channel. So that's been stored in table storage and pulled back. Now we can go off and
That text, everyone should recognize that that's identical, but it's the same one that we saw in the, generated sort of when we did the client side thing, and then it was transmitted up to the cloud.
Yep, so just as I guess where we are in the flow, we've retrieved step one, the channel from WNS, and then step two, we've pushed that through our WCF REST service, and we've stored that in our table storage.
Yep. So now when you're in that MVC application, you can see it there, and now we're going to generate a message that we push down.
That's right. So now we're going to auth and push to our client. So let's go back here. So we've got this now. Here are the different types. So in Phone, you've got Toast Tile and Raw, and in Windows Developer Preview, we've got Badge Tile and Toast. So perhaps we'll start with a badge notification. So Budge have two different types of templates. One's an int-based where you can increment a counter on the screen, and one's a glyph-based, which are sort of preset images.
Yeah, kind of like badges that go on the tile or something, yep. Right? Yeah. Amazing
yeah,
how
it's
that
like,
was the
it's,
name.
It's sort of like a glyph yeah. that appears
on a badge.
In a badge. Yeah, no. That's kind of the thing.
It's pretty cool stuff. But this
Gosh,
is my favorite one, new
so
message.
New so, message, yep.
So when I hit send, it's going to auth against WNS, construct our notification payload, and push that through. So I'm going to hit send here. And we can see that we've got a status of 200k. So what that means is WNS has received that payload, and it's going to go off and try and push it.
Yep. So and to be clear, like that success status is just between you and WNS. It's not necessarily saying that it's been able to send it down to the client.
That's right? Correct.
So.
But there it is. That looks like that looks kind of like a badge indicating that I have new messages.
Kind of like a glyph yep. on a badge.
Yeah.
Saying something.
Yeah. On this thing that kind of looks like a tile.
Yeah. Well, that tile. So the green there, guys, is actually just a default tile that I specified for the application. I didn't want to brand it for when you go out and create your own. So you can change that in the app manifest. Yep. So that's a badge. So let's switch back and perhaps start with a tile now.
Yeah.
So tile, again, there's a very rich selection of tiles that you can send there. So one of my my favorite ones is perhaps a, let's see, tile wide small image, tile wide peak image collection. So let's do
Holy
this.
Holy moly. Look at all those different.
We've got a couple of images here. We've got Wade. Let's put Wade in.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's put a Windows Azure logo in. Let's put Smarks in. And we'll put, I guess I can go in there, and we'll put Wade again. Smarks, Wade.
Where are these images coming from, by the way?
Well, he was going to get to that in a moment.
Okay.
That's all right. It's magical at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, it's magic. I'm perfectly comfortable with magic.
So we've specified some images here for our template, and we've also specified some text for the peak.
All
so
right.
I'm going to hit send on this guy. We can see that that's pushed out as well.
Yep.
So let's switch back to our desktop here.
Holy moly!
There we go.
So amazing.
Yeah, there you go. So that's one particular template, and as you see
really
in the
cool.
drop-down, there's a whole bunch
cool.
of
really
templates
neat.
There. And there's the
Peek-a-boo.
Peak. So there's the text there.
It's nice. Right. That is it's a nice tile.
That is.
It is. I think all apps should look like that.
Yeah.
Peek-a-boo.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of different, I guess, templates here, and they're all provided out of the box for you. So I'd encourage you to go off and try them just to explore what capabilities are there and what matches best with, I guess, your
app. Your app should use every single one of them at least once.
I agree. We should have actually put in a utility that just randomly chooses one of the templates.
Yeah.
So you provide it with like 10 strings and like 10 photos.
And you can't really choose. You just click a button,
just
send it, and
puts them together
you don't know
somehow.
What,
yeah. That would have been useful.
Let's do that for the next version.
All right, we'll add that in a future version.
All right. So the last template I'd like to show you is Toast. So if we say, let's do Toast image and text, and who would like to be the poster child of this Toast message?
Steve. I think Windows Azure logo.
Oh, we need,
I tried.
I said it first.
Okay.
And so what do we do here? Cloud Power.
Yeah.
Right. So there we go.
The smiley face really makes it
there you go.
Friendly.
There it is.
That's a beautiful nice. Photo. There we go.
It is.
Why, thank you.
It's much more polished than my one. So there we go. That's a Toast image and text template 01.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've got Steve and a little bit of text there.
It's cool.
So that's, I guess, all the different types of notifications, and there's a lot more Steve. Templates yeah. there you can play with.
So one question. Oh, well, real quick. Where do these images come from?
Right.
Yeah.
So we've got tiles and toasts which can utilize images, and the way these are constructed are with an XML payload. Now, that image is not serialized in that payload or anything like that. It actually references out to a resource on the
right.
web. So what we've done with the toolkit here is, I guess, provided a demonstration of how you can utilize blob storage to go off and store these images such that they're publicly accessible.
Yep.
So if we come over here to the blobs tab, you can see a couple of photos here that have been updated. So I'm just going to delete Wade.
Thank you.
That's okay. And now I'm going to go and upload them again.
It was short-lived.
So,
and I want to clarify something. Yep. These images of us and the logos and whatever are there because you've already put them in your local
yep.
development storage.
We ship them
storage.
In the toolkit.
These come out of the boxes. Yeah. We thought everyone would want them, right? So these are sort of holdovers from you've already added these. So when I go do this template for the first time or start a new project with the toolkit for the first time, I'll see an empty list here, right? Because I'll
Actually, we've got these two.
Oh, we do actually have a couple of defaults.
Yeah. Okay. We do have a couple defaults here such that you can go out and play. But you can see these guys are in the local storage emulator, and that's where we've been serving those notifications.
Yeah, and it's really easy to create these. I think the tile sizes are, for the square, it's 150 by 150, and for the rectangle, it's 150 by 310.
Yep.
So.
Cool. So that's a quick demonstration of the toolkit.
That's great. Cool. Now, one thing before we switch off WNS is, I mean, this is really neat stuff, but why is it compelling? Like, what's the compelling aspect of hosting these services in Windows Azure? Like, what does Windows Azure here really buy us? I mean, sure, it's great, everything works, we've got some stuff here, but, I mean, why Windows Azure?
Yeah, right. So you may go out and build your app. It's perhaps not popular to start with, but it may be a very popular app. So I guess Windows Azure is providing you the ability to start small. So we can go out, build an app, deploy it, and perhaps have a very small user base and have our services scaled right down. Now, as I think Steve Ballmer mentioned in the day two keynote, at that point in time, there was already 500,000 downloads of Windows Developer Preview. Yeah. And if you consider this operating system is going to be spread out across the globe when it goes, you know, past the Windows Developer Preview stage, you've got the potential for a huge user base there. So you really need services for your application up in the Windows Azure that are going to support that scale that you're going to need.
So you need, for
the images that you're serving up and whatever, you need something that looks like blob storage that wouldn't have to necessarily be Windows Azure, but something that supports publicly accessible images that you can store and has a CDN that can deliver those close to your users wherever they are on the globe. Yeah. That's a really compelling thing by itself. So, I mean, even all the other things aside, it's a place to sort of keep that data that you need to sort of distribute for notifications and to host those services.
One other pivot too. So we haven't talked about this, but I believe in the toolkit is a set of samples around auth and authentication. So another really nice piece of this is that, along with the Windows Azure platform, you get the access control service. And we saw a demonstration of this with John Shuchuk in the day two keynote, where he essentially showed the access control service integrated into the web auth broker in Windows 8, along with using the password vault for storing tokens. So you can get a roaming experience. And so that's just yet another kind of added value capability of the Windows Azure platform, is the ability to also leverage ACS so that you can get a federation to different social identity providers and even ADFS. So another thing that shipped as a sample in the toolkit, and just another one of those, you know, good benefits of the platform. So.
Definitely.
This is great. Now, why don't we pull up real quick, where can people go to get this?
Right, so they can get it from wapwindows8.codeplex.com.
Cool.
So here it is. There's a whole bunch of useful documentation here. Some documentation around the samples that Wade was just talking about, and also a run through from start to end on this as well.
Yeah. And I don't know, is it there now? I've personally taken the services from the toolkit and deployed up into Windows Azure.
Yep.
And if any of you have done this with the Windows Phone toolkit, the process is identical, right?
Yes.
I mean, you get your SSL cert, you can use a self-signed cert if you want. You deploy that up with your set of services. There's a couple of things that you modify, but I mean, it runs really well once it's deployed. So.
Yeah, there are a couple changes to make on the client side,
right?
Which you're probably not familiar with, being that it's a new development experience.
Yep.
But the services side is identical.
Yep. So that's very cool.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming and showing us.
That's cool.
The toolkit. So.
Welcome.
So it's that time, isn't it?
It is that time.
So this is the
the best part of the show.
Yeah.
The moments before the.
It's the reason I show up. It actually is, just so that we're ready for it. So yeah, so we're gonna introduce the tip of the week this week. And any idea on how?
It's probably worth pointing out, Nick just recently joined the team about 3 months ago, coming from Australia. So I don't think we've had like kangaroos or koala bears or anything like that on
the
show. But I think like seeing
koalas aren't a bear.
Koala bear isn't a koala.
Yeah, no. Only Americans say that, apparently.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
I think the plural is koala.
My worldview has just been shattered.
They're called koala.
Well, at any rate, seeing Nick in his kind of in his home kind of environment. I think you also grew up on a farm as well. So yeah, I don't know. Let's correct. Just yeah. Nick yeah. in Australia. Yeah. I think would be.
And everything's fabulous. Upside down there. So let's make sure that we have that. He's had to adjust to life right. here, but. He sleeps in this thing where he hangs yeah. the other way. So anyway, we should see a little more about Nate and his homeland. That makes
nope,
a lot
not
of
Nate,
Nick and
Nick,
his
Nick.
Homeland. Yeah. Oh, we have Nate on the show too much.
Yeah, yeah we get the names mixed up all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, you should have a different start. Let's change the first letter of your name.
I've
right
already
here.
Suggested this. Name, they maybe. Did not like that
What
idea.
About, let's start with an L? Anyway, so here it is, your tip of the week.
All together now, tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down, tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down.
All right.
That was
fabulous.
Fun, I'm sure.
So, all right, so this tip of the week is related to the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. And essentially, when you get started, when you get the Windows Developer Preview, you're going to be all excited. Like, let's start doing Windows Azure development on it. And once you get Visual Studio 2010 installed and you try to get the tools up and running, you know that there's a couple of places where, you know, things need to be tweaked a little bit. And so what yep. we wanted to do is walk through a couple of the things you'll have to do to Windows 8 in order to get Windows Azure pulled up. So while we're talking, why don't you go ahead and just pull up my blog, widwagner.com. And,
is it, yeah, I've never read it before. Okay, there we go.
I don't know how much he's joking. That's a, I don't know what extent of that is.
All right, so a couple of things. First of all,
we should use this picture.
Yeah. Handsome
that's
man.
That's a nice picture.
Anyway, all right, so a couple things to do to your machine to get everything up and running. So the very first thing, WebPI is a great way to deliver it. In order to get WebPI running on the Windows Developer Preview, go up into the features and turn on .NET 3.5.1, yep. right? So add that so that we can basically install WebPI. The next step is WebPI with this version of IIS has some challenges updating some IIS settings that we'll need to have set for the Windows Azure tools. So while you're in the Windows features, there's a few yep. things to update. So if you take a look here, we've kind of broken it out. Basically turn on IIS because yep. it won't be on by default. Set some things in the application development features, yep. common HTTP features, and health and diagnostics. So these are some of the prerequisites needed for the Windows Azure tools. Yep. From that point, you can use WebPI. You can install the the Visual Web Express or Web Developer Express yep. version of 2010, which is through WebPI. You can also use your own version of Ultimate or whatever if you'd like. Yeah.
And if you just want Web Developer Express, you can just install the Windows Azure tools because it'll automatically.
It'll chain.
It'll say, you don't have a Visual Studio to use.
And yeah, so I broke it up into two steps here. You could just select the Windows Azure tools and it'll chain everything you need. Yeah. But the point is you need to have 2010 on the machine, and then you also need to have the Windows Azure tools and SDK installed. So you can do all that through WebPI. Once that's done, now you've got all the software, everything configured the way you need it, but there's one other thing to do, and that's because with Dev 11 installed, there's a Visual Studio environmental variable that will point to 11.0 instead of 10.0. And so when you fire up the Windows Azure tools, it's going to reference the wrong spot on your hard disk. Okay. And so to mitigate this, what we've done is helped create a set of scripts that you can just put in a CMD file so that when you want to launch Visual Studio 2010, you can right-click the CMD file, say run as administrator, because you still want Visual Studio to run as administrator, and then everything will work great. In fact, when you were opening up 2010, people may have noticed that you didn't go to the shortcut for 2010, you went to a command, a CMD file, right-clicked and ran, said run as admin. Right. So you can just basically copy this text, put it in a CMD file, and launch it.
And then
do change the executable if you're not running Visual Web Developer Express.
Yeah. So this is all the manual stuff. The other thing that's probably worth pointing out is in the toolkit, a lot of this stuff is just done for you. So if you download the toolkit, there's a dependency checker that'll make sure everything is set up and running for you. And rather than having to go into the features and adding things for IIS yourself, it'll actually run DISM from the command line, which is the, I forget what DISM is, something imaging, I don't know.
Software management.
Something.
Yeah.
So here's the tool. It's going to run out and basically make sure that everything is set up. And you'll see this setting right here for IIS. If it's not been configured, there's going to be a link there that if you click it, it's going to launch command window and basically configure IIS for you.
And you might think that it's in an infinite loop. I watched the thing, and it shows very similar output over and over again. It's actually a long list of features that it's turning on. And so there is no loop in there at all.
Right. So it's actually showing whatever DISM stands for, it's showing that name every single time, but it's actually installing all the IIS features or checking to see if
they're installed. So don't be bothered by that. This is what it's doing, and it does take a little bit of time. I mean, a couple minutes maybe or something. But for me, I wondered, especially because I was looking at it before we actually finished I was wondering if there was some sort of, if it was trying and failing and trying.
Yeah, I sent a bug.
No loop in the script.
I sent a bug to Nick saying, I'm pretty sure there's a bug in this. It keeps trying to install the same thing over and
over. That's why I'm pointing it out, because it's not. It's actually doing them one by one.
And we have a work item, I think, for including what it is it's installing each time it emits. So
we'll just put a little echo there or something like that.
But
make it clear.
But yeah, so I mean, this, and if you, I don't know if you just ran through the whole install, but what it'll also do is it will create the shortcuts on the desktop for you, so that you don't even have to create that .cmd file. So the toolkit, I mean, again, we are making things easy.
Yeah, sorry, Wade. The things are so easy.
Is that executing?
And that's the thing that I mean, yeah.
And for those of you, it also goes and runs it as admin for you if you commit it.
Yeah, that is true.
For those that forget to do that, like I do from time to time, it's cool.
And the script will also check if you have Visual Web Developer or the full, like, full-blown version.
So it'll
check dev in the... It's more advanced than what's on my blog.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot and see if you know the answer, because I forgot to ask you about this earlier. If I install Dev 11 on Windows 7, do I need the same script or not? Have you done this yet?
I have not. I have not put Dev 11 on Windows 7.
I suspect that you do need this. I think the environment variable is set by Dev 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I suspect that you need this also if you're doing Windows 7. I haven't seen people asking about it yet, so I'm not sure.
No.
But if you are, but there is a
you should
Dev
try
11
this afterwards.
Preview. I'll give it a try, and then we can put it in the notes.
Yeah.
Whatever. Cool. Yeah, I thought I'd wait till we were on camera to ask you guys and see if you knew.
I've not run Dev 11.
One of life's
on
fun
Windows
little
7.
Tests, pop quizzes. Okay, anyway.
Cool.
So that's it.
And
we'll have the link and go to Wade's blog, and it's got that all again if you didn't sort of follow it all. But really, just install the toolkit. It does pretty much all that
for you. You can do it the hard way or the easy way.
Yeah, and Wade, of course, prefers the hard way.
He does not like when
we make things easy, but
I like
we do
the
anyway.
Easy way.
Yeah.
It means I can get the work done.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. This is great.
It was great to have you, Nick, on the show. I got it right that time.
You did.
sorry about
Excellent.
That. Send us messages on Twitter. Tweets, I think they call them. Yeah. The kids call them tweets these days.
Yeah.
At Cloud Cover Show. You're on Twitter, are you not?
Yeah, I'm Cloud Nick.
Cloud Nick. Okay. Cloud Nick.
I couldn't find anything else. Yeah. My name was actually, someone's using that.
There was already a Nick Harris. Everyone tweet the Nick Harris. At Nick Harris. It's not him, but whoever that is, I'm sure would love to receive your tweets.
Yep. All right.
This is such a bad idea. Don't do that, please.
All right. Well, with that, thank you very much.
Next time. Thanks.
Thank you.